guess you'll hear, well, just bits of the same experience told in different ways. So for me, it definitely starts with this conversation maybe 2 months ago where just talking about, well, talking about the Buddha's life, talking about what the Buddha did, and just there's something about, the Buddha spoke a lot about simplicity, and I like the stuff I like, you know, I like the gadgets and my clothes and I like my nice warm house. And so there's this ongoing question, well, you know, the Buddha did talk a lot about simplicity, he did talk a lot about renunciation. Where do I live that out in my life? Question comes up in my mind every now and again and goes away again. And suddenly there we were sitting around, a big bunch of people sitting in our garden having a lovely meal, and suddenly this energy starts forming where it's like, so let's do it. And it's like, oh my God, are we going to do this? So let's do it. Let's go. Let's give it a go. Let's go out. Let's try something different. And this sinking sensation of, oh, I'm saying yes to this. Saying yes to this. Why am I saying yes to this? I don't want to. But we're going to do it. In part, mainly for my friends. Not only for my friends, for myself as well. As I say, that is an aspect of the Buddha's teaching which I don't know very much about. So how do you find out where you have a go? So walking out of a Buddhist centre door, myself, I hadn't told anyone we were going to do this because I was hoping that we'd cop out and could just not go. So I hadn't told anyone about it, and I'd been ridiculously busy all that week. So I literally didn't have a second to think. I was working up until the moment we walked out of these doors. And that was definitely an avoidance strategy. I'm completely clear about that. So walking out of a Buddhist centre door, I just remember the sense of fear, but then also freedom and excitement. Walking down the road into the city, I love the fact that you can see the city from Moseley. And just to say, just a great sense of liberation, openness, possibility. Where will we go? What will happen? Everything seemed open. It was fantastic. So yeah, it was fantastic. We sat and meditated in the city. That was very good. And then something starts churning in your stomach. It's like 4 o'clock in the city is great. 6 o'clock in the city is nice. 8 o'clock in the city, where am I going to sleep? What's going to happen? I'm feeling, you know, like this, you know, this beast in my stomach going, don't like it. just feeling fear, confusion, disquiet, not knowing what to do. Basically, it's like, where the hell do you sleep? If you don't have a home, I don't know. I've got one, thankfully. Yeah, so just fear, dread. We walked around looking for places, looking at these like horrible places, going, should we sleep there? I'm like, God, I want to sleep there. And then slowly it dawned on me that I had to make a decision for whatever reason. I think of my friends as being much more hardcore than me, so I was like just the little one at the back sort of tagging along, and it's like, oh no, I need to make a decision actually for whatever reason. It's like, I'm the one who needs to say, well, let's stop here. Partially just because my legs were getting really tired and I had enough and I wanted to stop walking. So we chose a spot just off of New Street, which was probably a bit nuts. Lay down, and I just experienced possibly the most continuous fear I've experienced in my entire life. I slept for about an hour and a half, and then I woke up at two, and just between two and five, just fear, hearing these noises, hearing these people shouting, and just having to come back. That day I'd been talking about the gap, coming back to your immediate experience. So it's very interesting when you're lying on a, you know, you're lying in a sleeping bag on a street and you can hear drunk people shouting one street away, two streets away, five streets away. Come back to your experience. But the question is, like, actually, are they drunk people wandering around beating up people sleeping on the streets? And actually, you don't need to come back to your experience, you need to run. That is the question, actually. But I didn't run, and it was fine. So we woke up the next morning, and just talked about our night. And then we had this most delightful day doing nothing, actually. Like I do, I lead a Buddhist life, but Buddhist life can be quite a busy life. It certainly had been in the previous week. So just, particularly when you stop trying to be asleep at 5 o'clock in the morning, you've just got this day. It's just vast, and there's nothing to do. Just the openness, the spaciousness of it. It was delightful, actually, just meditating, sitting in the park, chatting. It was delightful, actually, surprisingly delightful. Sense of ease, bliss, openness. I've meditated in noisy environments before. I find it personally very rich because, you know, when we meditate, we're trying to go inside. And yet we're connected with the world. We always are. And often you can get into this thing of it's like, I just want it to be quiet. Like when you're sitting in the middle of New Street at 4 o'clock on a Monday afternoon in the school holidays, it's like, forget about it being quiet. It's like that, that is not an option actually. You've chosen to place yourself somewhere where it is not quiet. So what do you do? What I found very interesting was just the intensity of human beings. Often when you're meditating, when I've done it before, meditating in the street for whatever reason, you can kind of hear individual with people walking past. And this, it was very hard to differentiate. There was humanity. And I was just getting into a sense of being a still point. So there's something really important to me about that, my understanding of Buddhism is that we're communicating a possibility of a different way of living, an alternative life, to whatever extent some people want that. And actually just sitting still in the middle of Birmingham when everyone's dedicated to shopping and busyness, that in itself, I believe, is a communication of Buddhism, which I found quite important. A point of peace in a turning world. Just being that, to some extent, to whatever extent that I'm able to be it for that moment. That in itself felt valuable, meaningful for me and for other people. Who knows, as a lot of the people, they just don't know what to make of it, particularly gangs of young guys. They just like, they have to laugh because it's confusing, it's strange to them. But I believe there's some merit in it. Who knows what little seeds you trigger in people's minds. So we're sitting, we get to the to Monday afternoon, and we've been sitting alone and we've been sitting together. Sitting alone I did several times, and several times I had an authority figure come up to me and ask me to stop doing what I was doing, because begging is illegal in Birmingham, and that is, well, they didn't tell us that, they just asked us to stop. So the first few times I was just very sort of guilty, so I sat there with my hat in front of me and I was just like, sorry officer. But the third time, after being teased by my friends for being a conformist who just rolls over, I decided to be a bit more forthright, shall we say. So if these two police officers come up to me and say, what are you doing? And I say, oh, I'm meditating. And they're like, oh yeah, I thought that's what you were doing. And we just get into a communication. We're very friendly, very open. I played the religion card. So it's like, you know, in our modern secular society, they say, what are you doing? And I say, I'm practicing my religion. You have to leave me alone now. Didn't entirely work, I have to confess. It's a very good conversation, actually. They're saying, well, you are practicing your religion, and the laws of the land have to be respected, and how can we... We just had a discussion about how we could honour both of those, which for me felt very positive. And then, so I had this positive, good interaction with them. And then a sound came on the radio. You know, we've got a problem. Da, 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 da. There's more beggars. So they kind of go off to, they say, all right, okay, we go off to sort it out. And I just had this very strong sense of, I know this is probably my friend. So do I just walk away in case they're getting into trouble, or do I go and see if they're okay? And that felt very, very important to me, to look after my friends. And at an earlier point, we all talked about the special power that we all brought to the experience, or what we contributed. So, as you've already heard, Saraha was by far the best at getting people to give him money. David was by far the best at not getting scared. And I would say one of my qualities in life is just putting people at their ease, being friendly. So it's like it felt important to me. It's like having just talked myself out of getting arrested, I had to go and make sure my friends didn't get arrested too. Standing up for what I believe in. And there was a real point there. Like, I don't think it was seriously under pressure, but there was a point where a more officious police officer was potentially going to arrest Saraha. We don't know, but he was closer. And it felt really important to me not to risk it and just go and stand by my friend and say, well, psychically saying, well, if you're going to arrest him, you're going to arrest me. And actually, it didn't turn out that way. But that was a very, kind of like a significant experience for myself, standing up. So standing up for my friends, with my friends. I have to say, if you have to say about that. Yeah, so the police were very good, and of course it is important to, like, this was an experiment. Like, is this a good thing to do? Is this, how can we do this? So the police were very good at just talking about, well, how can we continue this experiment? How can we do this in a responsible, balanced way? And I appreciated that conversation with them. I appreciated their concern. They were very clear, like, Birmingham has got a zero tolerance policy on begging, so in theory they should have arrested us. So I'm very glad we didn't. So yeah, we obviously can't do it quite like that again, but what can you do? So yeah, so then the second night, I have to say, the point at which we decided to go and sleep in the park, I felt a high level of relief. Like, it was 8 o'clock, 8, 9 o'clock, and the same little beast was starting to stir. It's like, okay, well, I survived one night. Maybe I just got lucky. Maybe Monday's night's the night where the Eastern European people, but it's like, we all have prejudices, don't we? But it's like, Monday night is the night when people come and beat people up. I know, it's shocking, isn't it? You should find out what you believe. So yeah, so the relief of going to the park was, it was just bliss. It was delight. Sleeping in the woods, feeling very spacious, and the next morning meditating in this open, wide park, and just experiencing a lot of depth in meditation. And I think that came because of the contrast. That's the thing. Well, we did meditate a lot, but also a sense of contrast. You, like, if you put yourself in one set of circumstances, you can have a very positive experience in another set. So what I found in meditation is, having had all this external, you know, when you're meditating in a busy place, your consciousness is naturally quite externalized. You've got quite a wide sphere of consciousness. Then meditating in a very quiet environment, I felt like I went very deeply inside myself and saw something about myself in meditation which I hadn't noticed before, which I appreciated. It was good. So yeah, so I just left that experience feeling very positive. One of my conscious practices of this year is to dwell on the positive. I have a conscious practice every time somebody asks me about anything. I always say what was good before I say what was bad, as a means of overcoming what I see in myself and a lot of English people's tendency to focus on what doesn't go well. It's kind of like apologetic or whatever. So, and I was amazed at the extent to which, despite having experienced, you know, a very high level of fear and a certain level of discomfort, I came out of the experience feeling just positive, good, alive, pleased to have lived out an aspect of a Buddha's path which I've never experienced before, pleased to have spent time with my friends, and pleased to have had an adventure.